And next on Ozarks at Large, we're going to talk politics, not politics of 2020 or even 2019, but of a few decades ago. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studios, Randy Dixon, who is Director of News Archives and Media at the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Welcome back, Randy.
Thank you very much for having me.
When you come, you bring audio presentations of Arkansas's past, and I mean, for this visit, you've brought some items that if anybody remembers them, they're having to go back a ways.
Yeah, some of them way back.
Yeah. So let's set the stage. These are not just political commercials, but political documentaries, but they were advertising.
Absolutely. They politicians in the 60s and early 70s, in addition to running ads, would spend quite a bit of money to have an ad agency produce a full 30-minute profile of them, but it seemed like a documentary, and they would buy 30 minutes of airtime on a television station, and it would run, say, after the 6 o'clock news.
Right, what television stations would call prime access.
Yes.
So instead of seeing perhaps To Tell the Truth on Thursday night, here came the documentary about a candidate.
Right, right.
And we're going to hear some of these, and they are something else. Should mention that the way that these are being digitized, and by sometime later this year, will be available to everybody online?
Well, we're going to begin putting content on our website by this summer. We're now digitizing the oldest film from the 50s to the mid to late 70s, and that's the material that will go on. We are then going to ship off a full 26,000 videotapes from the Arkansas State Library Archives, and those will be digitized over the next year. So we will start with a little bit of content, but add it continually over the year.
And is all of this part of that gift that was made by Tyson?
Barbara Tyson and the Tyson Foods Foundation. Yes, that's what has made this all possible.
All right. So before we hear the clips, setting the landscape for how candidates would reach voters was much different, of course, in the 60s and 70s. Most people had access to 3, if that, television stations.
Right.
And if something like this came on, you'd watch it.
There wouldn't be anything else to watch. And a lot of times what they would do is buy the exact same time on all 3 television stations, so you didn't have a choice but to watch it or turn the TV off.
Who are we starting with?
We're going to start with Sid McMath. He was Arkansas's 34th governor from 1949 to 1953. Then he was defeated by Francis Cherry for a third term, and he tried to make a comeback twice. He ran for the Senate in 1954 against John McClellan, lost that. And then in 62, he ran against Orville Faubus. This is when this documentary, if we want to call it a documentary, was made for the 62 campaign.
His name is Sid McMath, a lawyer by trade, a hunter when he can be. This summer, he's a candidate for governor on the Democratic ticket. He's a man with one thing on his mind, the future of Arkansas.
What's the 18-year-old going to do, do you know?
I hope he goes to college if I find the money to send
him. Are you working?
No, sir, I'm laid off from Arkadell.
How long have you been laid off?
3 weeks this time.
What do you say this time? Have you been laid off before?
Yes, sir, 2 years before. I can go to work now, I guess.
It starts like it's True Grit or something.
Oh, sure.
You know, I mean,
professional announcer.
Yeah.
It really commands your attention. It's like a documentary.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But they also had a formula. They would sell their candidate, but then they would include personal information and background and make them personal people. So here's another little clip from the McMath piece, and this is about his time up here at the University of Arkansas.
In 1932, in spite of depression poverty, Sid entered the University of Arkansas.
I remember Sid McMath came up to Fayetteville with $2.50 in his pocket, friendly smile, and the determination of a mule. He made friends everywhere, and he had a good word for them all. And though he had to spend a lot of time washing dishes in Hill Hall for the money he needed, he still managed to keep up his grades and get elected to Blue Key. The only sports he'd had time for was boxing. And if he didn't win them all, there was never any doubt there'd been a fight.
Of course, Hill Hall no longer there. Yeah, I see what you're... We are trying to be connected to this as a human being, a humble person. He came up to Fayetteville with $2.50 in his pocket. He washed dishes.
He's a boxer.
Right. In ROTC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the music. I mean, it's right. All very... They're
soaring.
Selling him.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So that was it. And we have to say that this did not work.
Right.
He did not win that
No,
election.
He didn't. Yeah. He never was elected again after he lost to Francis Cherry. Our next one is Winthrop Rockefeller. He was 37th governor from 67 to 71. And this is a little clip where he is on a farm talking to a family while they're doing their chores out in the yard.
Did we get a little rain here last week?
Yes, we got a little bit, not very much. Of course, if I was able, I wouldn't ask it to rain. I got water right there.
Mm-hmm.
Judith! Hey, Yin Chun, come here!
In the post-war years, a former governor of Arkansas would say of Win Rockefeller, I wish he had been quintuplets and they had all moved here. He went on to say, we have plenty of people in this state with the means to do what Wynn has done. The difference is he does them.
Both of you, I'm Wynn Rockefeller. I'm glad to know you. Your dad's been telling me what a good job you two girls are doing in school.
And again, the personalized. Now, here's the thing about Winthrop Rockefeller. A, he was a Republican,
mm-hmm.
and Arkansans did not elect Republicans governor.
Right. He was the first Republican...
Since Reconstruction.
Yes, yeah, Reconstruction.
Second, that last name. I mean...
Well, he came from a family of privilege.
Right.
Right.
So you had to somewhat temper that for many of the rural folks in Arkansas, I'm guessing.
Right. And he did. There are parts of this piece that it talks about him deciding to go and work in the family oil field for 4 years, making no money, doing very hard work. He was also... He invaded Guam during World War II and was a bit of a war hero. So,
yeah, this next clip kind of really does that, doesn't it?
It talks about the work ethic of his family.
Let's listen to this.
His mother was Abby Aldrich Rockefeller. His father, John D. Rockefeller Jr. Wynn was the fourth boy. Their world is distant now in more ways than time. They were a close family and a strict one. Each of the children had chores to do. They landscaped the grounds, built roads, earned small salaries, kept accounts. The values of their world were duty, responsibility, thrift, work, purpose, service. The watchwords of the American past.
Yeah, so here you have someone from the Rockefellers, but they're talking about he got low wages for doing the work of building roads, and again, trying to make him seem more archy, if possible.
Right. Not as privileged.
Right.
Right. So, should we move on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
John McClellan. He served longer in the U.S. Senate than any other Arkansan. He served from 1942 to 1977. And he's best known, of course, for the McClellan-Kerr navigation system on the Arkansas River. So this one kind of, this is the beginning of his documentary, and it really sets it up.
Since the dimness of time, rivers have borne the burdens of man. First came the fragile canoes of the Washita and the Osage. Then came the crude flatboats of the rivermen, pressing into a bountiful and promising land. The Arkansas's meandering path was dictated by the hollows of the earth. 10 miles overland were 30 by its loops and swirls. It was a maverick stream, often lashing back with flood and fury, eroding away the richness of the land.
Are we allowed to use the word hyperbole with that beginning? I mean, oh, my goodness.
Oh, sure.
Since the canoes were put in and, oh, wow. But the McClellan Kerr was a big, big infrastructure accomplishment.
Oh, it was huge.
So you'd want to play off that.
It made Tulsa. It made Fort Smith. It made Little Rock port cities when they never were before.
Right.
So it was massive undertaking, but well worth it.
Now, this next clip really shows that he's a roll-up-his-sleeves kind of guy when he's in D.C.
Has a full day.
Right.
And has a lot to do.
The day begins at 7. His legislative assistant bought the Jeep for weekend fishing. Weekdays, the senator commandeers it for an unlikely limousine. John McClellan knows well his way through Washington. He knows where the legislative traffic is heaviest, when to wait patiently for the red light to turn green, when to take a shortcut to guide a bill home. His calendar this day, like most days, will be crowded with the momentous and mundane events that make up the job of being a senator.
You know, I hear that clip, Randy, and I think about it's hard to imagine someone who is running for re-election in the Senate in 2020 taking people to D.C., right?
Right.
He is putting himself, he is part of the machine, he's part of the cog, he's putting legislation, he's having meetings. That just wouldn't happen for most people wanting to be reelected to the Senate now. You wouldn't show them in D.C.
Wilbur Mills served in the U.S. House of Representatives from 1939 to 1977.
Ways and Means Chair, yeah.
He was the longest continuously serving chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, and that was from 58 to 75. Mm. But in 72, he actually ran for president. So here's a clip from the beginning of that.
Mm-hmm. Now I pledge you my best efforts to the solution of these and all of our problems in the months ahead. I pledge my full cooperation to those who also seek answers and a new direction for our country and our economy. Our people cannot longer be pawns to a condition that has extracted such a great price from them.
A magnificent tribute to a man who has done much for his country. So much that perhaps it was natural that a group of his fellow congressmen start a drive to nominate Wilbur Mills as the Democratic presidential candidate.
So did you recognize the narrator?
It took me a second. But that's Burgess Meredith.
Yeah, they got Burgess Meredith to voice this 30-minute show.
And so this would have been in the early 70s.
72.
Okay, so he was a very much known commodity, Burgess Meredith. I mean, he'd
been
of Mice and Men. And of course, just a few years later, he'd reconnect with movie audiences in Rocky,
mm-hmm.
being the manager. But
right.
This...
Oh, he was a well-known voice, especially in 72.
Yeah, so I can't imagine how much this cost to produce.
Oh, I know.
But if you run for president...
Well, and like you were saying, didn't work very well.
Right.
At the convention, he only got 33 delegate votes at the Democratic National Convention. And, of course, you know, the nomination went to George McGovern.
Right. And then, of course, what later happened with Wilbur Mills was scandal.
Mm-hmm.
Fannie Fox and...
Tidal Basin.
Yes.
Yeah.
And adult entertainer.
Yes.
Stripper, dancer.
Stripper, yeah.
Yeah, he was in a car with...
Yes.
Yeah.
Drunk.
Well.
Yeah.
Right. Well, no.
Yeah.
It should be pointed out, at the time that Arkansas had Fulbright, McClellan, and Mills in Washington, D.C., that was an incredibly powerful trio.
Probably the most powerful of any state.
Yeah. We've got one more to end this with. But before we talk about this, these are hokey, I guess you'd say, with the benefit of hindsight. But there's something about the optimism of building up a candidate here. And it again, it's hyperbole, and it's you know, the Disneyfication.
You could almost call it propaganda.
Yes, well, I think you could. You could. But there is something about the positivity that can make you nostalgic as opposed to Facebook ads about how horrible everything is.
Yeah, they were all very positive.
Yeah.
And it was to build up a candidate, not to tear another one down.
Yeah, and I'm not saying one is better than the other or one is more informational than the other, but it can inspire a bit of nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. It was entertaining to go through
I bet.
All these. I mean, everything I'm going through is entertaining. I just last week, I was looking at some clips from, I'm dating myself, 1977, and I see a Hall High School pep rally, and there I am with long hair down on my shoulders.
And you didn't know this was coming?
No.
Did that give you goosebumps to see an earlier version of you that you didn't expect to see in this?
I don't know if you'd say goosebumps.
You got better hair now.
And I maybe you cringed a little bit.
Okay, sure. Yeah. All right, we're going to end with something that I think will stick with many listeners for a while.
And I'm sorry. Everyone at the office has heard it, and they can't get it out of their head.
So what are we about to hear?
We're about to hear the closing theme song to the Wilbur Mills program.
And
that,
again,
that it, you know, so it probably had the biggest budget. They had Burgess Meredith. They had a song written. They had it performed with a singer in full band.
Yeah. So, all right, we're going to listen to that. Randy Dixon, Director of News, Archives, and Media at the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Thanks so much for bringing these in. I can't wait for the next batch.
I love doing it. I'll be back whenever you'll have me.
All right, now here comes your earworm for the week.
He came from Kinsett to serve his people in the Congress of the United States. With the love of this land, he's worked for all. He's one of America's greats. Wilbur Mills, Wilbur Mills. He's one of America's greats.
And thanks to Randy Dixon, the Director of News, Archives, and Media at the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History for stopping by. He'll be back again in just a couple of weeks with more material being digitized from the KATV archives at the Pryor Center. If you'd like to know more about the Pryor Center, you can go to pryorcenter.uark.edu. This is Ozarks at Large.